welcome each and every one of you here on the last day of 2017. 13 hours from now, if the Lord tarries, we'll be entering into a new year. They've already done that over on the other side of the world in Asia. They've already celebrating 2018. But I want to draw your attention back to the book of Ruth today after taking a little brief respite from the book. And we're looking at verse 20 of chapter 2. And it says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good." By the way, in the original language, the "it is" does not appear. It simply says, "Good, my daughter." It's a shout of acclamation here. "Good, my daughter, thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. This is a time of great joy for Naomi. What did she call herself? "No longer call me Naomi, call me Mara," bitter. And now, what is she doing? She's rejoicing. "Good, my daughter." Something's happened, and she recognizes it. God, the Lord, has been good unto the living and to the dead. You know, it's a tremendous reminder as we look back over this past year that God is still in charge. No matter what happens in the world, we've seen a lot of violence. They were talking about in Chicago alone this year, I think they set a new record for murders in the city. Unbelievable. They had a drop in murders this past week only because it's been very, very cold. Nobody's outside. Isn't that sad that the weather has to affect the murder rate in a city? But the violence is there, and we see violence all around the world. Bombings, explosions, death. And yet we know that God, as it says here, shows His kindness to the living and to the dead. But think about Ruth for just a moment. Totally unfamiliar with all the customs. She had been married to her husband for 10 years, but she was living in her homeland. She was teaching them her customs. And now that she's with Naomi in her land, she's learning the customs. She didn't know anything about a kinsman redeemer. She didn't know anything about these things. And the field that she goes to, she's divinely directed to. It's one of her near kinsmen. And the Lord's going to unfold in her life a new husband as a result. Totally and completely something new for her. We need to look to the Lord this coming year. There's going to be a lot of new things that we face. You think about 2017, all the new things that you face, perhaps things you've never faced before. There are a lot of new things that you face, but aren't you thankful for this statement? The Lord hath not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. Not only to those who live, but also those who have passed, because those that know the Lord are with Him. And so we're thankful today for the possibilities of a new year, but also thankful for the blessings and the kindnesses of the Lord over the past year. And we want to rejoice in His wonderful name today.
Let's take our hymn books this morning and begin with number 118. Number 118, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home," 118. Let's stand together to sing.
The way of the cross be so.
remain standing for prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your love to us today. We thank you that we can be here once again in your house with your people. Thank you, Father, so much for the blessings of this past year. We thank you, Lord, for how you've undertaken in many situations and the backgrounds where we aren't even many times even thinking or looking, but your providential hand is always guiding. Lord, we look forward to this coming year, and we ask, Lord, that your hand would still continue to direct and superintend things in our lives as your people. Lord, I ask that we would truly live in the way of the cross. Lord, there's many competing ways that vie for our attention. They try to convince us to go to some other methods or other ways or focus on other things. But Lord, we thank you for the cross. And as this hymn has just said, we look forward to the day where we see you waiting at the open door, where we get to take the way of the cross all the way to glory with you, to see your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us, for the redemption that we have, and for our life in Christ. Lord, as we gather together this morning, we pray that you would bless this service. We pray that your word would be clear this morning, that our hearts would be focused in on it, that we wouldn't be distracted from other things. But Lord, it's another opportunity for us to learn from your precious word, to take the word of God and to put it into our hearts, to apply those things in a better way as Christians, to learn how we could better live for you, to be convicted, perhaps, Lord, and exhorted in things that we are not doing that conform to your word, that you would rebuke us of those things as well. Now, Father, I pray that throughout this coming year that we would focus on the scripture, that we would focus on studying your word, on the guidance that your word offers, and that we would seek to walk in this way of the cross this very year. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the many requests and needs upon our hearts this morning. There's many of our church family are away traveling and off in different places, and we pray that you would give them safety, Lord. I pray that you'd also be with our school family as they are also all over different places. And as they're going to be coming back this week for school to start next week, I pray that you would give us another good semester for this second semester. Many activities and many opportunities lie before us, and I pray that you would guide each one. Lord, I pray that there would be a spiritual growth also in our ministry this year, in our church, in our homes, in our outreach ministries of the Youth Athletic Club, in, Lord, our Christian school. There's so many opportunities to grow, and I pray that you would give spiritual growth there, Lord, that we would not be complacent or apathetic in your work, but that we would work hard for you this year, knowing, Lord, that we're serving a mighty God, that we would give you glory in all things, that ourself would diminish. So, Lord, guide and direct in these different goals that we have, the vision that we have, the mission that we have, that, Lord, it would be centered on the things of God and the things of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would again bless this time this morning, our singing, Lord, our prayers, our praises to you, Lord, our thanksgiving to you, but most of all, the hearing of your precious word. May you guide our pastor, anoint him, Lord, to bring the word that we need this very hour. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated as we continue to sing now over to number 56. Number 56, His Name is Wonderful, number 56. Thank you. Turn down to number 55, hymn number 55. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, number 55.
Please take your Bibles this morning and join me at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, while you're turning there, a friend of mine, a pastor friend up in New Hampshire, sent me this from a CPA in his church, said, "Happy New Year and congratulations. Your car just appreciated another $1,000. Your new clothes are now last year's clothes. You are going to have another birthday." Mr. O'Pager and I were talking about that this morning. And Brother Paul, both of them are going to be 80 years old this coming New Year. "Your roof, heating, and cooling unit are 1 year closer to having to be replaced. You are going to have to start gathering information and begin preparing your federal income tax returns, which should be a little bit simpler this year. We'll see if that happens or not. You have just paid a whole lot of interest on a debt while reducing very little of your principal. And then finally, you are 1 year nearer death. That's not very encouraging, is it? It was sent as a kind of a joke. But I think some people have that mentality as they face a new year. Kind of bittersweet. You know, all these things are going to be wearing out this year. I'm going to have to replace this. I'm going to have to replace that. I got to get a new car. Just all kinds of things that come to mind. But as we come to the conclusion of 2017, I pray today as we look at God's Word, and we're going to be considering this passage in Colossians chapter 3, both this morning and tonight, as we consider an old challenge for a new year. An old challenge for a new year. I want to read the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3, and then I want to give you a little bit of introduction to why the Lord, I believe, directed me to this particular passage of Scripture. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and by the way, if is not a good translation, it should be since. Since ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's such a rich, encouraging, admonishing passage of Scripture. And I pray that we might take to heart this old challenge from the past and that we might apply it in the new year. I pray, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts as we consider the promises and opportunities that lie before us in the new year, that we might ground ourselves in the old book. May we not leave the old paths, but may we follow in the paths of the Scripture. And I pray, Father, that You'd work in our hearts today as we consider this passage, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand near the beginning of a brand new year, it's a good time to reflect over the year that is ending and look forward into the new year. It's also a good time for God's people to take inventory of their walk with the Lord. We should take a very close look at where we are in our relationship with Him. We need to examine ourselves and see where we have been, where we are, and where the Lord wants us to be. This passage gives us the opportunity and the challenge to do just that. We've spent some time in the last few months cleaning our house and our shed. We said goodbye to Gregory and all of his things that he had in his room. We've been at Kingswood Drive for 17 years. So he cleaned out 17 years worth of stuff that was in that room. And I kind of walked in there after he had cleaned his room out and took it over to his new house. And I kind of reminisced a little bit as Brian was shoving his way through the door. I'm looking forward to my new room, Dad. And I'm kind of taking this all in, you know. I've just said goodbye to my oldest son who's not living with us anymore. And now Brian's excited about moving into his new room. And other things. We began to, my wife, paint the whole house. We got to get it done before the family comes. So our house has been fruit basket upset for the last 2 or 3 months. We cleaned out the whole house. We emptied out all kinds of stuff that we had had for many, many years. We went out to the shed. We cleaned it all out. We loaded up a trailer full of stuff that we just thought we had to keep. You know, when we built that shed in 2001, I believe it was, we loaded it with all kinds of stuff that was left over from the construction of our house. And we got to keep that just in case something breaks. We got to keep that. Well, 17 years passed and we haven't needed it. So we pitched it up on top of the trailer. Now, this gave us opportunity to relocate some things, opportunity to keep some things, retain them. There were some things that we had to release that needed to go. But there was also some things that needed to be remembered. Now, I don't do a lot of alliteration, but I couldn't help myself this time because I want to give you some hooks to hang some thoughts on as we go into a brand new year, if the Lord tarries. As I read these verses of Scripture, I find that they challenge God's children to do exactly the same thing that we did at our house. As we were going through our shed and toting things out, the question, do we need to keep this? We haven't used it in so many years. Do we really need to keep it? And sometimes say, yeah, we need to keep that. We need to put that back up on the shelf. So we go put it back up on the shelf. I don't know if we'll ever use it. But there's certain things that we kept. And then there were other things that we'd had for so long. We had some old shutters that when we bought the house, we got an extra set that came with the kit. And we put it up there, but we've never used them. So they went on the trailer. There was a lot of other junk. Some of the kids' old toys that were in there. We kind of remembered whenever they used to play with them as we pitched them up on the back of the trailer and reminisced a little bit. Hey, Dad, you remember whenever I used this toy? Yes, I remember you digging up my yard in the back and with your little excavator or whatever it was that we were looking at. And there were a lot of things that we remembered. And there were some things that we retained, but there were also a lot of things that we released and let go of. These very same things come to mind as we look at our lives in light of the Scripture before us. There are some things that we need to retain. There are some things that you need to release. And there are some other things that you need to remember. You need to keep in mind all the time. I want to open these verses and share with you the challenges that they contain. I want to show you that God has a purpose for your life. But you got to want that purpose. Can I say that again? God has a purpose for your life, but you've got to want it. You've got to desire it. And the way you live shows everyone whether you desire God's purpose or you've got your own thing that you're doing. Your life reflects it. Your attitudes, your decisions you make, all the things that you do in your life reflects on this simple thought, am I following God's purpose for my life or am I following my purpose for my life? This passage of Scripture speaks to it about living life as if you're living from above, living heaven's life on earth. That's very, very important. He wants certain things from your life, and He has every right to demand them. You know, we forget this about God. He's sovereign. And He's given you a sovereign will, but when He saved you by His grace, He put claims on you. He has claims on you by right of creation, but also by right of salvation. He's your Savior. And so He has every right to my life. Do I hear an amen? Ooh, kind of quiet out there. Well, you don't understand. God doesn't want to tell us everything to do in our life. Oh, really? Where did you get that thought from? Didn't come out of this book, I can tell you. Well, God expects us to do what we can do, and then He'll do the rest. That's the culture talking. God wants you to do His will every day of your life if you're His child. But you got to want to do His will. And I'm afraid that sometimes we let our wanter dictate what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. So, with those thoughts in mind, I want to give you an old challenge for a new year. Look, please, at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Since ye then be risen with Christ, what's that next word? Seek. Seek. There's an understood you there. Not God seek. Who's supposed to seek? We are. Seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Notice the next word. Set, understood you. You set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Two understood yous and two understood themes that are given here. Seek and set. You see, folks, there are some things that need to be retained. As you go into the new year, there's some things that need to be kept. They need to be retained. As we cleaned our house and our shed, we found several items that were important to us. We did not throw these items away, but we kept them so that we might be able to use them or to keep certain memories in our minds. One of the things that the kids like to do from time to time, we have this big basket in our living room. Actually, there's two of them. And they're loaded with pictures from when they were little. And they'll pull them out, and usually what it turns into is make fun of Dad time. You know, Dad, you had brown hair? Dad, you had thicker hair? Dad, why were you wearing those glasses? You know, those are the kind of things, you know, the big old glasses from the 80s. That you find. And then I get a chance to turn around. I said, man, who is this fat little pudgy kid right here? You know, and I'll make some comment or something like that. But we enjoy those pictures. We didn't throw those away. We kept them. We retain them. Why? They're special to us. They're special things. We like to get them out from time to time and look through them. In a spiritual sense, Paul here is telling us that there are a couple of precious spiritual possessions that we should do well to retain. Number one, you have a wonderful foundation. You have a wonderful foundation. As a Christian, you are risen with Christ. Notice this in our passage here. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with God with when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with Him in glory. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The foundation is this, we are already risen with Christ. That's a wonderful foundation. It's not something that I am going to have one day, be risen with Christ. I am risen with Christ because He went before, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then when He saved me, all of that became mine. It became mine in Him. Folks, that thought needs to be retained as you go into the new year. Don't let the activities and plans and ambitions and opportunities of the new year take away the thought of the foundation that you and I have in Jesus Christ. We are risen. Literally, since we have been risen with Him. We've been identified with Him. I speak to my young people in Bible class from time to time. We talk about inheritance. And we talk about the biblical use of that word. And I asked a few of them, I said, have you ever received anything as an inheritance? I had a few kids. One of the young ladies in our class got 8 acres of land recently. That was an inheritance to her. And I was kidding with her. I said, well, you better get a job. Why, Mr. Brainard? I said, you're going to have to start paying taxes on that. Well, it's held in a trust. I won't be able to touch it till I turn 18, so the trust is going to take care of that. But we were talking about one of the young ladies got a ring from an aunt that had passed away. Another had got a savings bond that had been given to them by a grandparent whenever they passed away. But you and I have something that you can't touch. Can't touch with these physical hands. You and I are risen with Christ. Now think about that. Because of that, I'm to set my affections, I'm to seek those things which are above, and set my affections on Him. What is affection? By the way, it's singular. It's not plural. Some would say affections. Affection. It really has to do with the mind. The mind. Set your mind on things above. Now again, they understood you. You seek. You set. That's the emphasis of the passage here. Set your mind on things above. You know how hard it is to set your mind? I find myself, if I'm driving along on the road, my mind starts to wander. I start thinking about maybe the plans of the day or something I don't need to forget. I got to make sure I get this. My wife will call me, I need you to pick up a gallon of milk and something like that. I got to remember that, you know, to go so I don't come back home and then I get chewed out. No, my wife wouldn't chew me out. But you forgot this, you know. Listen, it's hard in this world to set our minds on just about anything, is it not? You get so distracted. But I want to tell you something. You and I need to seek and to set our hearts on things above, our mind on things above. You need to be aware of the foundation that you have in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but you need to have an attention to your focus. Attention to your focus. What is the focus of your life? You ever owned a pair of binoculars, or maybe you have some at home, or a telescope, or a microscope? All of those things have to be what? Focused. They're not any good unless you focus them. Gregory has had a telescope that he had gotten many, many years ago for Christmas, and every once in a while we'll pull it out and set it up in the front yard or take it out here to the track out there and set it up where it's nice and dark and look up into the stars and maybe look at the moon and look at all the different structures of that. But you know what? It's worthless if you don't focus it. If you're working with a microscope, I mentioned to you that Royden was very thankful. He took two microscopes back to Haiti for the Shepherd's Medical Clinic. And he was rejoicing, and so was Brother Lucian. And you know what? They're worthless unless you do what with them? You focus them. A pair of binoculars are no good if you can't focus them. And the same thing is true in your Christian life. If you don't have your Christian life focused clearly on Jesus Christ, you'll be like a blind person wandering around. You have got to seek and to set. That means it's your responsibility to focus in. Ever since I was diagnosed with diabetes, I've watched my eyes improve. It's been a very strange thing. When I was in college, I had to get glasses. I was sitting in the back of an algebra class. It was called Bonehead Math. Because I didn't do very well on my placement test, so I had to take a year of algebra. And I went into that class, and the teacher wrote very small on the board. And I went to the teacher and said, "Why do you write so small?" I said, "I really need you to write bigger." He said, "I'm not writing. Look at this." Well, it was big there. And to me, it was small. I said, "Is there any way I can move to the front of the classroom?" He said, "Sure." So he put me in the front seat, front of the classroom. I could see very clearly. When I got home, I told my mom and dad, "I think I need to get glasses." So I went down there, and sure enough, I couldn't see distances. I could see up close. And then as the years went by, when I got married, I started losing my focus on reading up here. I would be trying to read my Bible, and it was just as blurry as it could be. So I went in there, and they gave me bifocals. And I had bifocals for 17 years. And as I was noticing, I was having to take my glasses off a lot. And I didn't need them anymore for that. It was just kind of a strange thing that was happening. And then, on top of that, I didn't need my glasses during the day for driving. I could actually read signs and be able to see. I didn't know what was going on. I was having health problems at that time, so I went into the doctor and discovered that I had diabetes type 1. Long story short, I'm one of 9% of those that get diabetes that their eyesight improves because of the diabetes. The shape of the eye, actually, because of the sugar content, actually rounds out and you can actually see a little bit better. So I don't have bifocals anymore. I haven't had them now for a number of years. And I use glasses only at night, because whenever nighttime comes, then I start having trouble. And I put my glasses on whenever I'm driving at night. But during the daytime, I don't need it. But you know what? If I don't have them and I'm driving at night, everything is out of focus. And that's dangerous. Not only am I endangering those in my vehicle if I don't have my glasses with me, but I'm endangering others on the highway as well, because I can't see clearly without my glasses. And by the way, in the spiritual walk, you become a danger as well to your family and to your church when you don't live a life focused on Jesus Christ. Focused on His Word, where you can go for weeks without reading God's Word. That's not a focused life. By taking to heart the precepts of the Word of God, you don't do that, then you're not focusing. And because of that, your vision is blurred spiritually, and you become dangerous to your family and to your church. We can all give testimony. I've talked to Brother Paul about his past ministry of people who became dangerous in their church because they weren't walking with the Lord. They were out of focus. It became a problem instead of a blessing. It doesn't need to be that way. But whose responsibility is it to keep in focus? Our responsibility. Seek, you seek, and you set. This passage here in Colossians introduces, this whole chapter here introduces a focus. If you look, please, I won't read all these verses, but in verse 10 you have the focus of a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. In verses 5 through 9 that follow after our text here, we have the focus of a clean and holy life. Verses 12 through 17, you have the focus of godly virtues. In verses 18 through 21, you have the focus of holiness in our family life. In verse 22 through chapter 4 and verse 1, you have the focus of holiness in our social life, interaction with other believers, interaction with those around us. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, you have the focus of an effective prayer life. And then finally, in chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, you have the focus of being a fruitful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things are a part of what we're reading here in chapter 3. We need to have a focus. We are to allow a heavenly perspective to govern our earthly walk. Every decision, every activity, every plan, every purpose is to be considered in the light of this book right here. And in the light of eternity as well. Everything is to be laid out before the Lord and considered not from an earthly sensual perspective, what pleases me, but from the viewpoint of heaven. What's going to bring honor and glory to God? What's going to please Him? God's people are called upon to become heavenly minded. This is possible because of our Lord's presence in heaven and the presence of His Holy Spirit within us as God's children. It's possible to live a focused, heavenly-minded life here upon this earth. From His place at the Father's right hand, Jesus makes intercession for us, and He gives us all that we need to live for Him in this world. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, all give witness to that wonderful truth. As we prepare to enter a new year, may the Lord help us to realize who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. We are risen with Him. But also, may that realization change our walk with Him. You ever had your children lag behind walking in Walmart? And you're walking at one pace with the shopping cart, and they're walking at another. Our kids always love to go to the toy side of Walmart. I don't know, understand why that was so. We're over in the food section. When are we going to go on that side of the store? You know, they wanted to go over there. And then we would start walking, and they would run ahead a little bit. And usually we're in the food section, they're walking behind. You know, keep up, let's go. Bringing the herd, you know, along with you. Trying to keep everybody together. You know what? As a Christian, our Lord ought not to be telling, keep up with me. Don't be going over there. You stay with me. But that's exactly what happens when you forget your foundation and you forget your focus. And that brings me to the second point that I want to give to you, and we're going to close with this morning. Some things need to be released. I want you just to stop for just a moment. Some things need to be released. They need to be let go. As we cleaned, we came across several items that just had to go. Things we thought we could not live without years ago became things that were just in the way and were not needed. We really didn't have room for some of them, and some of that stuff was just plain junk that had sentimental value to it. It had to go, and it did. The junk and trash were all taken to the dumpster. Several bags of clothes and articles were taken over to Helping Hand Missions. While we were retaining some things, other things had to be released. In our spiritual lives, the same thing is true. Some things just have to go. We don't like to let go of things, do we? We like to cling to things. We like to keep things. There are some things that try to attach themselves to our lives, and they're just plain junk. Trash. Something that should not be a part of your Christian life. Those things need to be put in the dumpster. Other things simply don't have a place in our lives, and those things need to be let go of. Now, here's where I want to spend just a few moments this morning, because this is what is so important from this passage of Scripture. In order to seek and to set our affection on things above, we've got to let go of things below. You got to let go. You can't keep clinging to the things of this world. You need to let go of them. If it upsets you so greatly to let go of a physical possession, something is not right spiritually. I want to say that again, because this is a reality where some people, they could never let go of something. You think about the people living in California that have been dealing with wildfires for the past 2 months. I've watched footage after footage. Weeping people standing, and right behind them, the only thing left was a fireplace. All of their earthly possessions gone. Everything, every picture, every trophy that a child earned, every memento, diplomas, all the things that are a part of this life gone up in smoke. They didn't have time. One woman was rescued from her home who had run back into her home. The back part of her house was on fire. A fireman was driving up, coming down the street, blaring out warnings. Hey, get out of your homes. Get in your car. Follow us. We'll lead you out of this area. She had gone back in because she was trying to get mementos together. When the firefighter got into the home, it was completely filled with smoke. The woman was on the floor trying to make her way, crawling on her elbows like this with her arms full of stuff. The firefighter went in there and picked her up, just scooped her up in his arms, and began to go out the door, and things were falling out and she was screaming, "We got to go back and get it." And he said, "If we go back, neither one of us will go home tonight. You got to leave it behind." And he ran out the door with her, saved her life. Now, if that's the kind of reaction you would have to things of this world as a Christian, those things, then you haven't set your affection on things above. You're not seeking those things which are above. They're just material. And by the way, you're not going to be able to take them to heaven with you. You realize that? You can stuff them in your casket. You can have somebody. Brother Mike was telling me about a request that he had. He said, "We've got a box of things we want to put with Papa." And they brought in a box of all of his favorite things, and they stuffed them all in the casket, all around him, all those things. And they closed the lid. And Mike said he sat there and he looked at all that, and they were just patting each other on the back. Said, "Papa's going to be happy now. He's got all of his things around him." As Papa, there was no smile on his face because he didn't know the stuff was there. You can't take it with you. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. You see, folks, the material things of life are all going to pass away. You're not going to be able to take them with you. So if I know that going into it, why should my heart be so attached to them? What should my heart be attached to? It should be attached to things which are above, the things of heaven. I think about the book of Colossians and all the things that are found in it related to this as Paul is speaking here. He talks about the things that have to be let go in chapter 2 in verse 8. He says in chapter 2 in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit." Those are things that have got to be let go. Philosophy, vain deceit, things that are empty. Oh, how we cling to some of our ideas. Let me tell you something. If your ideas and your opinions aren't in lockstep with this book, they need to be let go. Do I hear an amen? If they're not in lockstep with this book, they may be so set in your family. You've been doing it this way for 60 years, but if it's not in lockstep with this book, it needs to be let go. If something is more precious to you than Jesus Christ and His Word, and it's a material item, then you need to let it go. You need to let it go. What did Jesus say to the disciples when our study of Matthew, we reminded everyone of what Jesus said? If your right hand offend thee, what does the Bible say? Cut it off. If your eye offend thee, if it leads you to sin, what should you do? Pluck it out. Now you say, that's radical. That's radical. Yes, it is. That's exactly what Jesus told His disciples, and that's what He's telling us today. If your right hand is leading you to do wrong, it's better to cut it off and go to heaven with one hand. By the way, you will be restored. You'll have a new body. But it's better to do that than to continue on your pathway of false deceit, and vain philosophies. You've got to get rid of them. You've got to examine them. Philosophy simply is the love of wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom out there, but some of it's not Bible wisdom. Some of it's earthly wisdom that doesn't stand the test of the Scriptures. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to let it go. Traditions of men. Well, we talked about this in our study in Matthew. Oh, there's a lot of traditions. Sometimes they don't square with the wonderful Word of God. If it doesn't square with the book, what should you do with it? Release it. Let it go. Don't keep it. It's hindering you from walking with the Lord. Then there's the rudiments of this world in verse 8 of chapter 2. What's the rudiments? A rudiment is a first principle. It's a fundament, a foundation. The rudiments of the world. The foundation of the world needs to be what? Well, it says here, we're to get rid of them. They're after the rudiments of this world. The foundations of the world. Get rid of them. Not only false teachings and vain deceit, but also foolish demands. Look at chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." You know what it's saying there? Don't let somebody hold you to their standards of how things ought to be done. What's the standard? Christ. That's what it says there. But the body is of Christ. Let no man judge you in meat or drink. You shouldn't eat that meat. Or you shouldn't drink that drink. Or you shouldn't celebrate this day or whatever because I don't think it's the right day. Let me tell you something. You let the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ written, set your standards. Now, every ministry has standards. Establishes standards so everybody can be on the same page together. But don't misunderstand the truth here. Keeping those standards is not going to make you a more holy Christian. We've had many people over the years that kept our standards that were lost people. I've had to fire a few over the years that were just as lost, but they kept the standards. They had the right hair standard. They had the right dress length. They had all that stuff down, but they weren't a believer. Don't think for one second that conformity to a standard is going to make you acceptable with God. Oh, He's going to be so happy with me and I stand because I kept kept a standard. No. What counts is, did you keep God's standard? Did you follow His Word? Did you get into it every day to know what God's standards are? Now, we ought to set standards that are biblical in our homes, in our church, in our ministry. We ought to have biblical standards, but there's some latitude as well. God's given us a little bit of latitude, so we have to be careful that we don't let our opinions become more sacred than the book. That's the foolish demands at some time. Look at verse 21. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There's a warning that Paul gives here. Don't be following foolish demands that men and women establish, but follow the demands of the Word of God. That's where we're to be. Very quickly, Paul warns believers to watch out for people who would place them back under the law. That's what this is all about. Aren't you glad that we're free from the law? Why? Because Jesus fulfilled it perfectly. And if I am in Jesus Christ, then I'm set. I'm set in Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we start lying and stealing and killing and doing all the things that the law says we're not supposed to do. No, it's written in my heart now. It's written in my heart because Jesus Christ lives there. This is the point. To tell someone that they've got to keep certain commandments in order to be able to go to heaven is a hellish lie. No. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who alone can save us and make us what we ought to be. If Jesus Christ has saved them, He has met the demands of the law, and we enjoy the blessings of that fulfillment. The only reason that liberty should be limited is for the sake of a weaker brother or sister, Romans chapter 14. I limit my liberty to help others. Are you willing to do that? Limit your liberty to be a help to somebody else that may not understand or hasn't grown to a particular point? You see, folks, there are some things that need to be released. And my point here this morning as we close is this. Sometimes I have to release my own liberty in order to help somebody else. Are you willing to do that? To step away from your rights? Step away from your privileges to help somebody else? To encourage somebody else? To teach somebody else? You see, this passage of Scripture has so many ramifications in our life. When you seek those things which are above, when you set your affection on things which are above and not on earth, it changes your whole perspective. And it's not about me anymore. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about others and being a blessing and help. Sometimes you have to let certain things go. Well, I have my rights. And I'm going to keep my rights. You know what I've found over the years? That people that are always demanding their rights have very few of them. They have very few of them. They lose a lot of friends. Nobody wants to be around them because they're always exercising their rights and privileges. You know, if you're a waiter in a restaurant, you want to help your customer. But have you ever been around somebody at a restaurant that was just mean and nasty to a waitress or a waiter? Just demanding and running them down? I don't understand that mentality. That would take somebody like that, that is serving them, and treat them with disrespect. If they get your order wrong, it's not the end of the world. Okay? The building's not going to cave in. You're not going to be toted away in a coffin. Handle it. Hey, this is not what I ordered. Okay, could you take it back? They'll be happy to do that. But if you treat them ugly, you know what's going to happen? You don't know what your food's going to go through before it ends back up on your plate. Yeah? You know what they did in New York City in an Italian restaurant? I read this this past week. Italian restaurant, downtown Manhattan. There was a man that came in and was just being super ugly, demanded another waiter. Get rid of this waitress. She's no good. Just awful attitude. So a waiter came over from another table, began to help this particular inn. He started in on him. So, you know what the waiter did? Went back there, took his plate, took a toilet brush, stuck it in the toilet, ran it all over the plate, ran it all over his wine glass. Okay? Poured the wine in, put the food on it, went out there, and the man ate his meal and didn't know what had happened. Now, I'm here to tell you he deserved it. Yeah, he deserved it. It's never right to mistreat people just because you've got power. Use that power wisely. Amen? Use that power wisely. Don't be a fool. Use that power wisely. What does the Bible say? Again, we always hearken back to Scripture. We're to be as wise as serpents and finish the rest of it, and harmless as doves. Oh, the Bible has so much to say. What did that man need to let go of? Oh, he may have had power. He may have been somebody of stature. I don't know. But it didn't matter. He used his power foolishly. He used his power foolishly instead of wisely. Oh, it would have been much better if he'd had a pleasant attitude. Oh, this is not what I ordered, or could you correct this type thing, and handled it appropriately and used his power wisely. And then he would have been taken care of. But when you use your power foolishly, it'll come back to haunt you. It'll come back to haunt you. May God help us to release some things. Now tonight, we're going to get into things that need to be remembered. Things that need to be remembered. And I hope that it will be a help and blessing as we enter into a new year. Father in heaven, we're just hours away from a brand new year. We don't know what your plans are. You may be planning to come and get us today and take us back to be with thee. Lord, we rejoice in that thought. How wonderful to know you, to be risen with thee. Not something yet future, but something we possess right now. But Lord, you've told us we have certain responsibilities. Certain responsibilities of seeking and setting our affection on things above. Lord, work in our hearts. Deliver us from selfish and foolish attitudes of living, ways of living. Help us to learn to release those things that need to be put in the dumpster, spiritually speaking. We need to wash our hands of them, get rid of them, clean up our life, be more like unto thee. Help us to indeed be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as we walk here upon this earth and await your soon return. And Lord, if you choose to allow us to go into the new year, I pray that you would help us to have hearts that truly seek after thee, an affection that is set, our mind set upon things above. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close this morning with number 490. Number 490, good hymn to take into the new year. Take my life and let it be, especially that fourth verse, take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. In line with what we've heard this morning, let's stand together and sing that fourth verse as we close number 490. Father, we thank you for the word we've heard this morning, and I pray that we would be committed to set our affections on things above, Lord, to seek after your things, to release things. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts this morning. We thank you so much for the message. We pray that we would go in the strength of it, that we would walk with you, not just today, but throughout this year, that it would be our focus, that it would be our mindset to walk with our risen Lord. Thank you so much for all you've done for us, and I pray that you would bless each one here now. In Christ's name, amen.